Hello. Good morning, everyone. Okay, so as I've been praying about today, God gave me two clear messages. Initially, I didn't see how they matched up and was really debating over which one to go with. But one of those messages was a story in the Bible. And as I read that, God just revealed how the other message linked in. I'm not going to say too much, it'll make sense as I go. But I'm going to start off by reading the story in the Bible. It's quite long. I tried to work out if I could cut bits out, but you need to hear it all. So stick with me. So the story that I'm going to read is from John 4, and it's known either as the woman at the well or Jesus and the Samaritan woman. I'm going to start at verse 6. I managed to cut a tiny, tiny bit out, but it is quite long. As you're listening to this story, I'd like you to try and focus on the woman. There are lots of different points you could focus on when you hear this story, and there's lots of different messages you could take from it. But today I want to focus on her. So as I read it, maybe try and imagine it and just, yeah, focus on who she is. So John 4, starting at verse 6. Is there any way, can I make this? Does it go up a bit? Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from his long walk, sat weary by the side of the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please, give me a drink." He was alone at the time because the disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus replied, "If only you knew the gift God had for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water." "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes flesh, a bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." "Please, sir," said the woman, "give me this water, then I'll never be thirsty again. And I won't have to come here to get water." "Go and get your husband," Jesus told her. "I don't have a husband," the woman replied. Jesus said, "You're right. You don't have a husband. For you have had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with. You certainly spoke the truth." "Sir," the woman said, "you must be a prophet. So tell me, Why is it you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it is here on Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worshipped? Jesus replied, believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on the mountain of whether you worship the Father on the mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him. For salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming. Indeed, it's here now, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. Just then, the disciples came back. They were shocked to find him talking to a woman. But none of them had the nerve to ask, what do you want with her? Or why are you talking to her? The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone, come and see a man who has told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people came streaming from the village to see him. Well done for sticking with me. There is more to that story, but that's where I'm going to stop. So the reason I wanted to focus on the woman is when I was reading this, the first question that came to mind was, why her? Why did Jesus choose to reveal himself to her? A lot of the stories that we read in the Bible where Jesus talks to other people, he goes out and finds them. They come and find him, getting all in the muddle. They come and find him. They call out to him. It's not very often he goes looking, or in this story, is waiting for her. Now, he was a Jew and she a Samaritan. Samaria was a foreign place racially and religiously to the Jews. He could have ignored her. In fact, that's probably what most people would have expected him to do. She was a woman. Women had very little value at the time. Those two reasons alone were enough for Jesus to not talk to her. The fact that she had five husbands and was living with another man just adds a huge amount of reasons why you wouldn't expect Jesus to be talking to her. And then the question springs to mind, why did she have five husbands? Now, it doesn't tell us this, but we can maybe guess. Maybe she was a widow. Maybe she was unable to have children and had been divorced because of that. That was quite a common reason to be divorced at the time. Whatever the reason was, she was probably scandalous and therefore isolated, marginalised, possibly holding on to some deep pain, judged by everyone around her. They wouldn't have wanted to be associated with someone like her. She would have been considered worthless. So why her? I don't have the answer, but I have thoughts. I believe that all that rejection would have made her thirstier for a way out. Thirstier for answers, thirstier for truth. But she'd lost hope. In spite of everything, Jesus saw something in her. Jesus saw something that others could not see. He saw into her heart, her hopes, her dreams, her thoughts. In fact, he knew everything about her. He knew all about her decisions. Did he label her? You're an adulterer. Did he go after her? Did he shout or blame her for what she'd done? Did he choose to disown her? Did he isolate her, separate her, make her an example to others? This is not what you should do. Did he call her out? Did he tell her to repent? Did he forgive her for her sins? No. He just spoke with her. He chatted with her. He loved her. And he saw into her situation and he saw what she needed. And what she needed right then was to belong. She didn't fit into what society thought she should be. Here she was all alone. She didn't fit into what society had told her she should do. She'd been married 5 times, living with another man. She wore labels. Labels that defined her and stopped her from being loved by others. And probably stopped her from loving herself. We all have labels on our lives. Some of these will weigh really heavy. Some have been put there by other people. And some we've put there ourselves. I'm going to use my little... got some examples here. Hang on. Don't know if that... got some examples here of lots of different labels that are given to us or we've given ourselves. I don't know how easy it is for you to read it, but I'll just read a few. There are millions of labels I could write here, to be honest. I could fill pages and pages of horrible things that people say about us, or we say about ourselves. I'm guilty. I say these things about myself. Unwanted, insignificant, different, pathetic, mistake, rejected, annoying, stupid, weird. There are loads. There are so many. I want you to just think for a second of any labels that maybe you're carrying that have been spoken over you or things you've said. They might not be here on this piece of paper. They might be more specific. I've gone quite generic. But these labels push us further away from each other. They isolate us. And they push us further away from healing that comes through connection with each other, that comes through relationships. Because when we don't fit what society says to us that we should do or should be, we either pull away or we get pushed away. And then we cope in 2 ways. We either pretend everything's all right and put on this happy face deep down inside, feeling insignificant, broken, unwanted, useless, whatever it is. Or we just pull away from the people that make us feel like that. Or, in some cases, pull away from everyone. It was when she was alone that the Samaritan woman met with Jesus. He didn't offer to fix or change her. but he invited her into a relationship. They talked. He valued her enough to talk to her. There was conversation and it moved quickly. I mean, talk about getting through the topics. These two bashed out a lot in a short space of time. She's suddenly realizing that Jesus isn't just some stranger who wants a drink. He's someone who knows her intimately. They continue talking and he explains to her all about living water and giving her eternal life. And finally, he reveals himself to her. He is the Messiah, the one she's been waiting for. He sees her, he validates her, and then what happens next? She drops her water jar and runs off to tell everyone. In doing this, she's leaving behind the part of her that was isolated, the part of her that was alone. She's leaving behind all these labels people have put on her. She leaves it right there with her water jar. And because of this new relationship she's got with Jesus, she becomes a preacher. She's running off, preaching to everyone about who Jesus is, to people who could barely look at her, people who didn't want anything to do with her. She doesn't care anymore. She's met Jesus. She's met the Messiah. She's now a preacher because she's been filled with God's love, filled to overflowing that she can't keep it in. There's nothing holding her back anymore. She wants everyone to meet Jesus, to know him, because he is here and he is the Messiah. Because of what she heard, if we carried on reading the story, it says that many Samaritans became believers. They believed in Jesus because of what she said. They then went to see for themselves. Without her conversation with Jesus, they wouldn't have come. If Jesus had condemned her or ignored her or called her out, isolated her, made her feel worthless, she wouldn't have told anyone about that conversation. However, because he showed her love and took the time to meet with her and talk with her, she became a great witness for him. And because of this story, we all now can know that no matter what labels you're feeling, no matter what labels I have, what boxes we may have been put in, what things hold us back, Jesus still wants a relationship with us. There is no need for these labels. No need. Jesus doesn't want these labels. This is what Jesus thinks of these labels. He doesn't want them. He doesn't want these things weighing down on your life. These are the labels he gives us. These are the labels he wants you to feel. And if you're carrying any of those or any others, you need to take them off. You need to screw them up. And you need to pick up these labels. And what do these labels say? If you can't read them, I'll read them to you. Loved. Chosen. Child of God, blessed, highly valued, and worth dying for. They're the labels God wants on your life. They are what God wants you to think of yourself. Jesus sees us where we are. He strips off those labels we've been carrying around and claims us as his own. He's going to help us put down our pots and make space for a new beginning. This new beginning isn't one that tells you to pull yourself together or it's time to redefine yourself. No, this is one where Jesus just wants an intimate conversation with you. The one that unravels us, the one that unbinds us from labels that are negative. Those labels that have constricted us. And what we think we are, or think we should be, they're the labels he wants to unbind us from. And instead, he wants us to discover who he knows we are. We need to leave behind those jars and pots of water, the labels and the feelings that go with them, and pick up these labels. You are loved. You are chosen. You are blessed. You are a child of God. You are highly valued. And you are worth dying for. Let us pray. Father God, thank you that you love each and every one of us exactly where we are right now. Thank you that we don't have to compete for your love or gain your love, but it's just there, unconditionally. Father, help us to seek that intimate conversation with you, where you just unbind us from those labels and boxes that we found ourselves in. Help us to know that you have the ultimate labels for us, and they are labels of love, being chosen, being a child of God, highly valued, and worth dying for. Thank you that you see us through your loving eyes, and help us to see ourselves and others through your loving eyes too. Amen.